Record. We are recording. This is going on to the internet. And where we were, David is retreating from Avshalom. He's found out that Avshalom has declared himself king in Hebron. His brilliant military strategist, Achitophel, is working for his rebellious son. He is doomed and he is leaving. He's gathered everyone who's loyal to him, and he's right now at our stage, he's at what's called the Beit HaMerchak, the outside walls of Yerushalayim. We're going to kind of move slowly out, and he's going to eventually end up on the other side of the Yarden. We said, this is verse 24, Hazagutcha, Kol Vadav Ovrim Al Yadav, and all of his servants, all of his people were passing through by his hand. Kol Achreitiv, Kol Achpleiti, and the Kreiti Pleiti, we talked about them, with a military force or was an administrative staff. But Kol HaGitim, and all of the Gitim, the people from Gat, which is a Plishti city. Sheish me'ot ish. There were 600 of them, Asher Baru Baraglo, that came following David Migat from Gat. Ovrim al Pnei Melech, they all followed the king. So that's why I'll look at them, because that's the strength of David's military force. So these 600 Gitim. So verse 30, because you have to remember that when was he in, way back when, we're going to go back to our chronology over here. Somewhere when he is about 29 years old, he is a Plishti general. He is working for Achish Melech Gat. He is loyal to the Plishti. He is fighting Shaul and the Israelites. And right now, this is going from 29, from the time he's 65, so 35 years earlier, he had been a Plishti general. I'm going to look at that back in Shmuel Aleph. Verse 30. Like Betsu Plishtim at Komachim Afeka. Then the Plishtim had their big assault on Shaul, and they, when Shaul dies and they retake Israel, they gather together in Afek. Yisrael Chonim Ayin Asher B'Yisrael, and the Israel army is in Israel, is in the Yisrael Valley. But Sarnay Plishtim of Rimla Meopalafim, and the leaders, the Sarnim of the Plishtim, were passing with their hundreds and their thousands. David and David and his men, he's got his bandit army as well, are fighting with the Plishtim against Israel, and they're going with Achish, who's the king of God, the leader of Plishtim. So the Plishti officers ask Achish, what's the deal with this Jew here? We're going to fight them. Why is he here? Achish tells him back, "Hello, Zet David, Ebed Shaul. This is David, who was the servant of Shaul, Melech Yisrael, the king of Israel. Ashaya iti, that who's joined me, Zayamim Ozeshanim, for 1 or 2 years." Achish can't quite remember how long it's been. We saw inside it was actually 1 year and 4 months. "Lo matzati bo mu'uma, and he's never done anything wrong." Remember the story that David has spent this time as a loyal Plishti lying to Achish, attacking all the nations around, claiming that he's attacking Israel. He has not been doing this. So Achish is wrong, right? David really is secretly loyal to Israel. But Lo Matzati Mu'uma, Achish hasn't found anything. I've seen nothing wrong with David. Miyom Naflo, from the time he fell in with me, Adi Yom Hazeh, until now, David is fine. He'll fight with us. And the other Plishim say, "No, you can't do that. We can't trust him. He's going to stab us in the back as soon as the battle starts." So Vayikra Achish, El David. So David tells Achish tells David, "Vayomer Elav Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem, I swear by your God." Right? Achish is very ecumenical. I know you believe in this Shem Avaya, a God of yours. So I'm going to swear by him. Yesha'ata, I swear that I believe that you are honest. The Tov Einai, and what you do is good. But say Tcha'uva Echa Iti, when you go out again, it's a Tzeit Lavo is a military expression. Because you've come and gone with me in war, you've always been loyal to me. I've not found anything wrong with you. From then until now. But the other Plishti leaders don't trust you. You're no good. Now you go. We talked about that expression. It's a dismissal. Go. I believe you, but you need to go back to Tziklag. You can't fight with us. So we go to, can't do anything wrong within the eyes of the other Saranim. So it's clear from here. We don't, all we see then is that David with his men go back to Ziklag. They find that it's been attacked by the Amaleki. But it's clear from our Pesukim here that at least some of the Plishtim trusted him and went back with him and actually joined with him in Yerushalayim as his people. They were still working with him.
So did they live with him in Ziklag?
We don't have the story there in Ziklag. All we have is that they, the wording here was that, where was my, verse 24 again, right? Asher bo baraglav migat. We don't know when they came from Gat. Was it when he actually declares independence, when he becomes king in Yerushalayim?
Right, they're from Gat.
Yeah, they came from Gat. And they're led by someone named Iti Hagiti. It's a great name. That rhymes. So back in our story, source 31, David's going to talk to this massive Gittim. Yomar Melech el Iti Hagiti. Lama Telech Gamata Itano. Why should you come with us? Right? I'm running away. Shuv B'Shev Im HaMelech. You should go back and stay with the king. Now that's a little ambiguous. Which king is he talking about? But Doc, most of the Farshim say, Shuv B'Shev Im HaMelech, source 32. Here's Im Avshalom. He's actually conceding that Avshalom is going to be king. I'm running away. You should go back and stay loyal to, and be loyal to Avshalom. And Phyllis is making a funny face there. Why would he do that? So Ratzu Yisrael Hamlicha, that this is right. Avshalom is going to be king, and I'm not. But you're not. But I would rather read it. The other Mepharshim is that Hamelech go back to the king of God. Go back to be pleased to him, right? You know, there's no reason, we're all running away. No reason you should stay with me at this point. You can't help me. You know, you've been loyal. That's wonderful. We love you. Go back to the land of Plishtim. Kinachriyata, because you're a stranger here. V'gam gola'atam l'mkomecha, you should be exiled to your place. I read that. Why should you be exiled? I mean, I'm going to run away wherever I can get to. If we're going to run away, you may as well go back to God. I'm not going back to God because I've been fighting Plishtim for the past 30 years. You can go back. Maybe they'll accept you. You're still a GT. Tamal Bacha, yesterday you came. I mean, yesterday instead of 30 years ago. Layom Aniacha Imanu Lalecha, and now you think I'm going to make you Lanua to, I'm going to make you wander to go with us. Aniolech al Asher Aniolech. I'm going wherever I can find. Shov Hasheba Dachicha Imach, Achecha Imach, you should go, bring your brethren with you. Chesed Emet, you should do good, have a good life. You've been wonderful. Go. I can't make you come with me as I'm running away. Yan Iti et HaMelech Yama. And Iti answers the king and says the following. Chai Hashem. Chai Adin HaMelech. I swear by your God and by your life, you are HaMelech, right? You don't tell me someone else is HaMelech, my king, whether it's Avshalom or whether it's the king of God. No, you are my king, Adoni HaMelech. Kim makom asher yasham, Adoni HaMelech, that wherever you are, im lamutu mechayim, whether we live or die, yisham yeh avdecha, that's where your servant will go.
A little like Ruth.
Sounds like Ruth, right? I don't think he's converting here. You know, he's not saying your God is my God, but I'm going to go. I am expressing my loyalty exactly like that. I will go whether you go. We will live or die together.
Well,
it's good to have friends. Right? I mean, nice if you had some of the Jewish friends too, but the Gittim were loyal. The Gittim were good people. David said, great. You pass in front of me, you know, part of this whole entourage, whole camp that's moving out of you. Out of Jerusalem, and they go with all their families, their little children. So now he's moving. He's left the walls of Yerushalayim. He goes into Nachal Kidron, which is on the east side of Yerushalayim, basically heading up Harazetim or Harazofim, that direction. I think my geography, right?
Yeah, that continues south, though, Danny.
Kidron continues south.
Yeah.
Right. But he's going, he's definitely going east because he's heading, he's trying to get over the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Yerushalayim. So what happens? So all the whole aretz bochim kol gadol, and all the whole land is crying. At least those who are loyal to David know what's going on. They're crying. V'chol am avrim, and all his people are passing in front of him. V'melch avar b'nachal Kidron. So the king is crossing over the Kidron Valley. V'chol am avrim al pnei derech, and everyone crosses. They cross the road el midbar to the wilderness, the uninhabited land. And Tzadok and all of them come with him. Who's Tzadok?
The Kohen?
Yeah, right. He is the Kohen Gadol who is in, if you remember, David's basically got two shuls, one he goes to, one he doesn't go to. There's the Mishkan that's in Giv'on. And Tzadok is the Kohen, a formal Kohen Gadol who's in Giv'on. And then Eviatar is the Kohen who's with the Aaron in Yerushalayim. He also has this ohel where the Aaron is. And his goal originally was to bring together, build the Beit Midrash. That doesn't happen. So throughout all of David's reign, there are two centers of worship. The Tzadok is the Kohen Gadol in the Mishkan. V'chol Levim Ito, and all the Levim are coming with him. Nosim et Aaron Brit Elokim. So the Tzadok has been in Yerushalayim, and they're coming out with the Aaron as they're running away. And they plant the Aaron in front of David. As they're going, they bring it and they set it down. Vayal Eviatar, and Eviatar, the other Kohen Gadol, comes. Ad Tom Kala Aam Lavor Menair, and Eviatar comes after him as all of his David's people leave the city. So we're going back, remembering who Tzadok and Eviatar were. So this is in the story as brought in Divrei Yamin when David finally brings the Aaron to Yerushalayim. This is the very beginning of his reign in Yerushalayim. I cry David let Tzadok l'Eviatar konim. David calls, David appoints Tzadok and Eviatar, who are the konim, Levim, Uriel, Asiyah, Be'oel, Shemaiah, Be'aliyah, Be'amin Yadav, and he appoints the Levim to do the Shira. Vayisru b'nei Levim et Aaron elokim, kasher tzi b'moshe, and the Levim carry the Aaron. And that's when David brings the Aaron to Yerushalayim under the leadership of Tzadok and Eviatar. And story 35, continuing, Bet Tzadok HaKohen. Just made a comment about Ivrim and Ovrim. Could that build that up? Ivrim is an insult in the eyes of Plishtim. I don't know if Ivrim are here.
It's a funny word, and they use it over and over.
Right, they're passing by. That could be something there.
And they said to him, who is this?
Ivrim, right.
It didn't say Ivrim either. It said Ivrim. Is it Ivrim or Ovrim?
You could work on that, that the nature of Jews is to be on the other side. Is that what David is here? Because I haven't thought about that. But I say that Tzadok HaKohen ve'achav HaKohenim. So Tzadok and his brother Kohen were left with Nei Mishkan Hashem b'mamah asher Giv'on. That Tzadok is left as the Kohen Gadol who's Giv'on. And Eviatar was not the Kohen Gadol. The relationship of Eviatar is interesting with David. Eviatar is the one who came to him initially. Eviatar is the son of the Kohen in Nov, back when David was running away. That was Lachimelech, was the Kohen gave it, and Shaul wipes out all of Nov, kills the Kohanim, and the one person who escapes is Eviatar. And he runs to David with the Ephod, and he's been with David all this time. But somehow they kind of lose that relationship because now Tzadok becomes the main, becomes the real Kohen Gadol, and we'll see by Shlomo that Eviatar throws in his loyalty with Adoniah, where Tzadok stays with Shlomo. So that's when Eviatar is completely exiled from being Kohen in Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. The way that David puts it, "Lochashavet Eviatar leKohen Gadol, klohu ma'ata ki me'az malach al im me'az malach al Yehuda." That he didn't. That when he's giving the list of the Kohanim, he's not counting Eviatar there because Abiatar was with him in Yehuda, not when he goes to Yerushalayim. But still, there, both of these Kohanim are with him, and they brought the Aron with him, which is a huge thing. Right? He's running away, but he gets the Aron to go with him. And the question of what is he going to do with this Aron?
Who has the Aron? David or?
David, no, that's right. So that Tzadok and Abiatar have come with the Aron out of Yerushalayim. David has crossed the Kidron. He's encamped on Harazetim. The Kohanim have brought the Aron out of Yerushalayim and brought it to David. So David has to make a decision about what's going to happen with this Aron. This is a huge decision. We're going to have to stop right now and leave that as a cliffhanger. That's going to make all the difference in the world.
Can I just raise one thing?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a whole thing about when they brought it from Gibeon to Yerushalayim that it was on the shoulders and it should have been on wheels or something?
You're thinking of when he goes to Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
When David becomes king of Yerushalayim, the Aron has been in the house of Oved Edom in somebody's garage in Telson.
Oh,
in,
yeah.
In Yarim, for 20 years. At least 20 years, depending on how you read the story.
Okay, yeah.
And then David brings it, and initially David brings it from there, where it had been in storage, to Yerushalayim on a wagon. He's trying to recreate the miracle when it came back from the Plishtim way back in Shmuel's time.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a mistake, because then Uzzah tries to adjust it, and he gets struck down and realizes it was wrong. So then he goes back, and they carry it on their shoulders. And they carry it by hand into Yerushalayim. And it's been in Yerushalayim now for 35 years. In Yerushalayim, and they've had tefillah there. There's this organized service there. It's got a place, and it's called an ohel, but clearly it was a building, but just like the Mishkan, it had a cloth roof. I mean, they clearly had an organized building. And right now, it's described that way, that kol levim nosim et aharon, retail camp. So they carried it out appropriately. They didn't put it on a wagon. They carried it out. But it's moving.
Thanks, Danny.
Okay. So that's what's going to happen. And later, what's going to happen later is that Shlomo, when he builds the Beit HaMikdash, is going to bring it from Ir David to Har HaBayit. And he's going to do that with carrying it also, because that's the way you have to move the Aron. Because we're going to switch now to Perek Tehillim. That explicitly deals with David's state of mind at this time. And that's the verse 37, Tehillim Gimel, where it says, Mizmor David, Barachel Mipnei Abshalom Beno. Okay, that's about as explicit as you get. Clearly, that's what we're talking about. This is the Tehillim written about David while he's running away. We mentioned before that we're not claiming that it was written at the time that he was running away. He had other things on his mind. It's not. And these prakim never deal explicitly with historical events, even the ones that have a koteret that says it's happening at this time. They're expressions of emotion, the feelings that are evoked by these kinds of events. And the psalmist is translating them into universally applicable poetry. This is a sort of thing that David would have been thinking about. And so this is where the Doc puts it, that they weren't something that he read or wrote at the moment as he's running away, but written afterward. They were said later to evoke this side of thought. What do you do when you're being betrayed, when things, everything's going wrong? And I love this quote from Walt Whitman. But what it is, poetry is a spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings. It takes its origin from emotion recollected in tranquility. That's the key line. Emotion recollected in tranquility. Later on, we're trying to bring back that feeling. Emotion is contemplated till by species of reaction, the tranquility disappears. Emotion kindred to that which was before the subject of contemplation is gradually produced. We're trying to recreate this feeling. And does actually exist in the mind. In this mood, successful composition generally begins. And that's what the Tehillim are supposed to be. An evoking of a feeling. And so the Gemara looks at this and says, if that's the case, then the wording is wrong. What's a mizmor? Mizmor is a song. Is he happy as he's running away? This is the Gemara in Bracha. Mizmor David b'varcho b'pnei Avshalom b'no. Mizmor David. Why is it called a mizmor? A song. Kina David mibayle. It should have called a kina lamentation. Right? That's what we expect him to be thinking. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Avishalom, and Rabbi Shimon, whose father was named Avishalom. I don't know if they gave a particular connection to this. What's this like? To a person who had a debt, a massive debt. Before it was paid, he was sad. Once it was paid, he was happy again. He may have had to pay the price, but no, the debt's no longer hanging over his head. Afken David, David knew that something bad was going to happen. Like the evil would come out of his house, and he was going to, you know, all these terrible things were going to happen, and things have been happening ever since the incident of Bathsheba. Amar, Shema Eberu, Mamzer, Hu Delochayes Alai, that who knows what's going to happen. Going to be one of my servants are going to attack me. An illegitimate child of mine will attack me. Came into Chazda Avshalom. Once he realized it was Avshalom, and we talked about Avshalom, didn't really want to kill his father. Hayasameh. He said, okay, that's not as bad as it could have been. At least it's somebody from my child. You know, it's like, I know terrible things are going to happen, right? This chov is hanging over my head. Okay, Avshalom, I'll live with that. You know, it's still, my Beit HaMikdash still may be built in a future generation. Still, Yotzei Mechalatzecha, it's still one of my descendants will be okay. Mishum Hechi Amar Mizmor. So that's the Mizmor. My debt is finally paid. The punishment is over, and if that's it, I will live with that. So, and the Radak, quoting the Medrash Shochar Tav, gives another way of looking at what's the Mizmor here. And Radak says, Amar, the Midr Shokratov, Kach Amar David. David saying to himself, Yaakov Avinu Barach. Like other people, other Jewish heroes have had to run away. Yaakov ran away from his brother, Moshe Barach, Moshe ran away from Mitzrayim. Ani Barach Motam, I'm just like them. Savor Yiti Shinit Chayvti Mita. I was afraid that I was going to be condemned to die. That was my ultimate punishment for the sin of Bathsheba. Ashav she goleh, galut mechaperat avon. Hopefully this is it. This is the end of my punishment. I am a galut. I will accept that, and I can thank Hashem that this is as far as it's going to get. I'll end up somewhere else, but I will survive. And this is the Mishachar Tov explicitly. Torah 42, Mizmar David Barachom Efnei Avshalom Beno, the song of David when he runs away. Mishachar Tov and Mishlei, Simchala Tzadik Asot Mishpat. There's a joy for the tzaddik when justice is done. Simchala Tzadiko Shel Olam Che'oset Adin. The Vishu Moramem Ba'olam, that David is acknowledging Hashem is right, Hashem is just. I will accept that. All different ways of looking at the same thing. This is a mizmor. And there, this is the way he starts. This is the Tilim Perek Gimel. Source 43, Hashem, ma rabu tzarai. Hashem, how great are my troubles. Rabim kamim alai, many are rising up against me. And Rashi says, Rabim here isn't really many, but it is the Rav, the great. Important people are fighting against me. Source 44. Rabim kamim alai. B'nei adam gbolim b'tara, gbolim b'chachma, gbolim b'osher, gbolim b'koma. The people are against me are... They know they're gedolim in Torah. They're wise. They're wealthy. They're stature. They're physically powerful. Shaul, Videh HaRafa, like Shaul and Rafa, that was the ancestor of Goliath, Doeg, Achitofel, all my enemies. They're all important people. They're great people. They're very powerful.
Achitofel is the grandfather of Bathsheba.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And he is the kind of the strategist behind Absalom's rebellion. We've seen that. And then Rabim Omrim Lafshi, and these Rabim are all telling me, And Yerushalta bo Elokim, Selah. That you, David, have no hope from God. And the way the article puts it, that David's enemies claim he has no salvation from Elohim and the sense of the Midat HaDin. Right? You have done wrong, you will be punished. There's no way to redeem yourself at this point. God is a pure role of judge, on the letter of law strictly, unswervingly. That's the way David sees himself. Phyllis, you're muted if you're trying to say something.
I'm sorry. That word in Rashi, Yalidei
Harafah. So if you look at, in Divrei Yamim, Goliath and other policy enemies of David are described as Yalidei Harafah, from the Rephaim, which is with an Aleph. Okay, that's what you, I mean, you have to look,
the doctors.
No, nothing to do with Rofe.
Rofe is an alphabet, doesn't it?
That Og was the Yetar HaRefaim. It was one of the nations in the area around Israel.
Really? Refaim?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, that's the, here we go. That's, since we brought it up, we'll bring it up. Okay. I'm going to, let's bring my Tanakh here. Let's go find Rephaim. And Shmuel, you see 23. Here we go. Yechrechen, vati od milchama begov, implishtim, azika safchi achyashti, saf asher b'yedei harafa. Right, he killed this yedei harafa, and before that he od milchama implishtim. This is all Perek Kaf Bet. Ayish bi beno asher b'yedei harafa, and then another one of these yedei harafa, fighting David mishkal kinoshlosh. Yeah, had a staff that was 300 shkalim. Etc. So all these the day harafa. Here we go. Old milchama begat begamhu yelad harafa. He's also one of the refaim. The day harafa. So all these enemies of David. The day harafa. So that's what I'm looking at David's history as a whole. That was his police enemies were all called yedei refaim. Or yedei harafa. And the Malbim puts this there. English Rebbe Elohim, he has no salvation from Elohim, especially that name. Because David has sinned, that there's no way to go back. There's no such thing as tshuva. Hashem's not going to forgive him. That's what David is seeing his enemies telling him, that this is all over. Far biyati perishmuel, and I've already explained this. Shio ben yoatzei Avshalom shtei kitot. That Avshalom had two sets of advisors. Ket echad, shvatu lahargo, k'mo she'atza Achitofel. One set of his advisors was Achitofel and his followers who wanted to kill David. Very explicitly. Zeket she'amru she'en lo yishua b'elokim. That's the one who's saying about David that he has no hope. He is doomed. We can go ahead, even though he's Mashiach Hashem, he was anointed as king, right now he is done. And the second group of Avshalom's advisors just wanted to take the kingship. We'll let David live. Avshalom, I'm going to be king. Let David bring alive. We'll see that Hushi advises Avshalom to let him be. And some of the other ones who were just fighting the Malchut but didn't want to try to kill David. But David is looking at the Rabbim who are saying, what's the word here? In Yeshua, tell low about his nefesh. Like, even your life is forfeit after what's happened to you. Selah. Hold that thought. Second verse. Second stitch of Tehillah. Vatashem Magen Badi. But you, now everyone's telling, people are saying this about me. that I am doomed because of my sins, but no, Atah Hashem again, but you Hashem will save me. Kvodi Umarim Roshi. You are my honor. I want to translate Kvodi. Umarim Roshi, you will hold my head up high. Koli El Hashem Akra, my voice will call out to God, Vaneni Mehar Kadsho. So, and he will answer me from the Holy Mount. Okay, I still have faith. That the way the article puts it, there's still hope. There's sinned, but he regrets it. Truly penitent man, returns all his heart, is worthy of pardon, protection from Hashem, the All Merciful. Okay, so he's being told, Elohim, there's no hope, but Atah Hashem, but you are Hashem, the Midat HaRachamim. I can still pray to you as Hashem. I'm going to switch the name of Hashem here, and that's what's going to save me. I can still ask for Rachamim here. That's it. The Mishnah David says it, Atah Hashem, aval lo kein. So it's not the case that I have no hope. Ki atah magen badi, because you will protect me. Tamuch kvodi umeirim roshi, and you will support my kavod, my honor, umeirim roshi, lift me up. Ki achzor malchuti. So not only will I survive, but I will be umeirim rosh, I will be lifted up, I will return to my kingship. And then he continues. But that was another selah, hold that thought. And then David's looking at himself. I will go to sleep. I will lie down and I can sleep. And I can wake up and Hashem will support me. I can sleep at night. I will lie down and sleep. Even though I have all these stresses, I'm on the run from my son. I'm afraid he's going to try to kill me. I can still sleep tonight happily in my tent. I will lie down securely. And I will sleep in peace. Like someone who has no fear. I am calm. Hakitzoti, I will wake up. I'm not startled. Kadama Yashem mitochat sarah. Someone who's sleeping in stress. Junior Paul, because to tell who's always waking up with a shot. I'm not going to do that. I will wake up calmly. Because if you're stressed when you're sleeping, you'll have these terrible dreams. You'll be worried about things. Whatever, everything you're thinking about in your heart. David's saying, no, I can sleep at night. Why am I so secure in you? Because I know, Hashem, you will support me. I have that faith. That's what we need to say. And similarly, the Midrash says about that. Amar David, Ani shachavti min ha-nevuah v'ashenei m'ruach ha-kodesh. Puts it more midrashically, know that the sleeping here is from my ruach ha-kodesh. I've lost my ruach ha-kodesh right after this. After the incident of Bathsheba, I've lost my divine inspiration. That's my sleep. But I will wake up. I have faith that it will come back. I will return to that connection to Hashem. Hakitoti azidei chushi arki. We'll see chushi is the one who helps David and allows him to go back to Yerushalayim and defeat Avshalom. That's midrashically, I sleep, but I will wake up. I will return to my Ruach HaKodesh.
So the fact that he's writing this psalm, maybe his Ruach HaKodesh has returned.
Right. The very fact that he's writing that meant that, you know, he's obviously writing after the fact, that obviously he's still been inspired to write Tehillim.
Right.
The claim is at the time that still he was feeling that calm, right? He'll deal with what he needs to do, but it will come back, this will work out. This is still a mizmor, even as he's on the run from his son who's trying to kill him. This is still a mizmor.
You know, I'm a little with when he would have written this and the idea that he wrote it later, looking back on his feelings. So if he wrote it after Avshalom is killed,
right?
I don't know. I don't like that idea of.
I mean, you could certainly say you put together that certainly as a Perek Tehillim, it's later than the actual incident. Was he thinking about it at the time? Probably. Was that what he thought about all the time? Is okay, how am I going to put this down into writing? Probably.
Why don't you feel he's writing it one night in the camp in the tent with a light, how he's feeling at the moment.
I certainly think so, but I just think in terms of how we look at Sefer Tehillim as a whole, in other words, we're looking at it as, okay, as universal. It doesn't have anything, this not specifically doesn't have anything to do with Avshalom particularly. It's written to be for us to read in those kind of circumstances. And I certainly would imagine that he was, you know, sort of the rough draft. Yes, I can imagine he was writing then and there, right? What am I doing? Because, like, you know, it's, as they start as the same way when we go on vacation, any incident, in her mind is, how's this going to end up in the scrapbook? Which will be put together later, but we're still kind of, you know, that's what you're thinking about. It's like, how is this going to work out in Tehillim? And the answer is, I'm going to go to sleep now. Take a deep breath. Calmly, because this will work out. Hashem is still going to support me through all of this. And whatever happens, it was just, it's appropriate, and I will deal with that, and I will still celebrate this. David is not writing any, well, David writes one kina that we know about for when Shaul dies. There's nothing in Tefer Tehillim that's a kina. Everything there is a mizmor, even over the terrible things. Kili, kili, lama, azavtani, God, why have you abandoned me? That's still a mizmor of David. Even that's expressing the thought. So I'd read it as both ways. He's writing this at the moment, but it's the final edition. What we have as a Sefer Tehillim is going to be later because it doesn't apply to David. Applies to us. We're reading it for us.
What's our Masorah on how the Book of Tehillim was put together? Did he do it? Did he compile it?
So the Gemara says, yes, that it was compiled by David.
Okay.
There's one, the Shir Shirim Rabbah, I think, lists also Ezra as one of the authors of it. It says it's David with others. The question, are the others all before David or not?
Uh-huh.
And you can go back and forth, and the Malbim actually has two separate introductions to Tehillim, one saying it was later, especially stuff that sounds late, like Shir HaMalot, Shuv HaShem et Shivat Zion. I mean, that you have to work hard to read that in terms of David.
Oh. Later. I remember we tried that.
You do that, right? I mean, I think it's a useful thing, and the Malbim can read it either way. And you can look at it both ways. Was this, you know, mostly by David, but accumulated some things or edited later as we get later to Anshei Knesset Gedola, the time of Ezra, or all written by David from previous authors there?
Mm-hmm.
And both of those have... based on Missouri, you're not a text, a higher critic to be saying either way.
Okay.
But certainly the reading, the one that said Ms. Morley David, I would assume is David actually writing them.
Yeah.
Read them as David. Okay. Rera Dak puts this Shachanti, this sleeping, verse 53, return of Lamar, this means, Ki David, Nistakami Menaruch HaKodesh, Vibnei Atzavon Vapacha Cheyavon. The David's Ruach HaKodesh, excuse me, his divine inspiration was gone because of all his misery after this time. I mean, that's not like, wasn't so much a punishment for what happened, but the very nature of Ruach HaKodesh, you can't do that. Ruach HaKodesh in Ashura El Mitoch Simcha, we know that. Sharach Hushi Arki Samach Bo, as soon as Hushi will see comes, he's going to be the one who's going to help him. Samach Bo, he was happy. Shiedashu Yah. Because he knows that Hushi will help him defeat the plans of Achitofel, the Hikits, and that's the point we woke up. And that's the point where he could wake up. That he is, right now, he's in his lowest point of despair. As soon as he'll see Hushi, he'll realize, okay, I can defeat Avshalom. I can not only survive, but go back to being Melech. And that's the waking up.
What's that word, yafar, yafer?
Hefer briti, to nullify a covenant, okay. Or for mefer neder, to nullify a vow.
Yeah.
Okay, continuing the perek. Lo ira meruvavot asher saviv shatu alai. I will not fear from the tens of thousands that are surrounding me. Kuma Hashem, hushieni. Arise, Hashem, and save me. Elokei, Elokei, my God. Ki akita kol evay lechi. You slap all my enemies on the cheek. Shinei Rishaim Shibarta, and you break the teeth of the evil ones. And usually read as, yes, Hiketa Kol Evailechi, is that David doesn't want to kill his enemies. He just wants to humiliate them. He wants to have them take a step back. Right? They're just a slap on the cheek. Right? You will always just simply slap my enemies Alalechi on the cheek. Spurring. It's an insult. It's not anything more than that. David doesn't want him to kill his enemies. Especially not his son Avshalom. We know that. He definitely doesn't want that. He just wants him put in his place. Okay. And then he concludes with the message that this is a mizmor, and that this is what we're supposed to be seeing in the Beit Mikdash. It says, "Lashem Yeshua, because salvation belongs to Hashem, Alam Chabrachatecha, and your people have your blessing." What does that mean? Rashi says that Hashem Yeshua, Allah Habli Yeshua Tavadav, will depend on Hashem to save His people, that Amon and His people. But Amon Mutalivarech Lodot Lo. Alam Chabrachatecha is that it's responsibility of the people simply to thank Hashem. Bless Hashem. That's our job. Selah, hold that thought. And that's what we do. Even when we're running away, even in the most terrible circumstances, accept that Hashem will save us, and we will be redeemed, and then we will sing Hashem's praises. And that's the Mizmor B'Baracho, Mi'amin Avshalom B'na. We will stop here. We will continue on next week with David looking at the Aaron standing in front of him, deciding where does this go from here. As a spoiler alert, we know where it goes from here. He comes back and defeats Avshalom. We'll love to see that. Any questions or comments?
I just want to say something about breaking the teeth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have that in the Haggadah. Uh-huh. Do you? Or something about...
The word there is Hakeh Shinav.
Which is the Varza Shinav or something.
It's blunt, but I would read it as to set on edge.
But I'm just saying it's interesting that maybe that's a way of quieting your enemies. Because back then, I don't think there was too great dental work. So if you lost your teeth, you probably didn't talk too much.
So it's different from the Haggadah. The Haggadah quote is from Yirmiyahu Yechezkel about Ochla Boser, about eating sour grapes and having the teeth set on edge. That's what the expression is, that we're just going to have to, you know, take a step back. It's not literally hitting it. You know, the Hakeh Shinav is with a kuf. But here it's, you are breaking their teeth, okay? Which I guess is a way of quieting them down.
Modern Hebrew, when you're struggling with Hebrew, like in your Olpan and you're trying to say something,
uh-huh,
and they'll say, don't break your teeth.
Yes.
Meaning, you know, you don't try to speak English. Hebrew.
Yes.
That's an English expression, too.
My father was able to do that. Whatever you gotta get.
Yeah, to break your teeth over a language.
You adjust your teeth in there. Yes. Yeah. So I certainly agree with that. It's the Hakita Lechi, right? Don't kill my enemies. I don't want them dead. I want them quieted, put in their place. That's all we're looking for here.
Does anyone look at that word, Shanae? Isn't there that pun that it also means Vishinantam Levanecha?
I don't know that anyone...
teaching, Anyway.
I could do that. The teaching of the Rishayim, you've broken. You could do that. We can work on this. I'm okay with that.
No, I don't want to work on that. I like the Ovrim. Can you stay on for 1 second? I have a
question. Can I stop recording?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop recording.
Thanks, Danny.